have to tell you that weight gain around the holidays is a epidemic concern, and people go through all kinds of changes about it, feeling guilty and trying to avoid it, and then it happens, and then they got to make the New Year's resolution to lose the weight. So we're going to talk to someone who's going to help us lick the holiday weight gain like a dog or cat. Our next guest is Carlin Montez de Oca. And if you're worried about holiday weight gain, get ready for some help. The book is called Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. Carlin, welcome to the Ed Till Show. I probably mangled your name. Do you want to say it for me so I can get it right?
Sure. My name is actually Carlene. So think about a car, you know, you're driving a car, then think lean, Carlene. And but my last name, you did it really well, Montez de Oca.
Oh, terrific. All right, Carlene, welcome to the Ed Till Show. It's a pleasure to have a way to deal with, first, the fear of holiday. Look, it happens in Hollywood, happens in New York. Holiday weight gain. And I can tell you, the buzz is going on right now. Well, what do I make? And please don't make this, and please make that. First of all, let's get prepared for holiday eating. What is the right way to not put on a ton of weight and still enjoy all these great holiday meals that lie ahead?
Right. That's, you know, the thing is, I think it's even good to take a step back and just think about what's kind of going on even before this. One thing is to know is that like 1 in 3 people in the United States is overweight. So we have, as you said, this kind of epidemic going on. And in addition to that, you know, it's causing a problem with our health care. You know, there's an extraordinary amount of financial kind of heaviness going on in terms of, you know, I think it costs like $190 billion in obesity-related illnesses. You know, being obese can also trigger all sorts of chronic illnesses. So, you know, sometimes it's good to kind of just look at the big picture and kind of see where you are in relationship to that. You know, what is your why? And, you know, in terms of like your own weight gain or your own thoughts about weight, you know, do you have an illness and maybe this is why you're trying to control the weight, or maybe you have stepped on the scale and you're noticing you're adding weight. One thing to know is that the holidays, the statistics show that even if we gain a couple of pounds at the holidays, we tend to not lose it. We tend to hold on to it. Even if you like say, well, I'm going to drop it after that, you'll tend to hold on to the weight and then it will add up the next year and the next year and the next year. So I always think it's good to kind of just have that picture around us to just kind of go, okay, where do we stand? Where do we stand here? And not to freak out about it so much, you know, because we you know, it's the holidays. We should have a good time and enjoy ourselves and kind of be in the spirit of everything. But I do think there are a few kind of things that we can think about in terms of addressing that as we move forward. And I like to think that our dogs and our cats can have some good tips to offer us.
Sure. Well, go ahead. What's the connection between the dog and the cat and our eating habits and our weight gain?
Sure. You know, one thing that we are starting to see, well, first of all of us who are animal lovers and have a connection with our dogs and our cats, because those are the primary pets that we have in the household, know that oftentimes they're just more than pets. You know, we have this deep connection to them. But if we start to kind of take it a little bit further and start to kind of look at the things that they offer around us, we can see that they're sometimes helping us directly, like, hey, get me out for a walk. Get me out for a walk. You know, a dog is always going to be like wanting that walk, wanting to get you out to the walk. If you're sitting there for a while at the computer and not moving, or, you know, you're sitting on the couch, you know, and eating whatnot, it's like the dog's going to get you to get out, right? So that's what, like a direct method. And then there are these like sort of indirect methods that animals can help us too. So it's almost a way of what we find is when we start to connect a little bit more, when we start to actually nourish our relationships with our dogs and cats, there's kind of this, it's almost like you open the abyss of like, hey, there's a lot of different things they can help us with. So let me just give you an example. So one thing I like to do is to think about, you know, instead of when you're at a holiday party and there are all these awesome things on the table, you know, if you're a cat lover, just think back to your cat and think how a cat eats. They tend to be a little finicky.
Right.
So maybe you can be a little finicky. You know, be a little finicky with, like a cat. So go over, like if you watch a cat eat, what do? They go to their bowl and they lick, you know, and they eat a little bit, and then maybe they walk away. And then maybe they come back later and eat a little bit more.
Right.
And then maybe they walk away again. I mean, you know, think about it. If you're at a party, you're not there to just totally eat. You're there to engage with other people. You're there to maybe connect with family members. You know, so this is kind of one method that I always think. It's like, okay, focus on your animals. You know, not your dog so much, but your cat maybe in this regard.
Right. Now, I will tell you, I get in trouble for something similar to this, so maybe you can give me some help. They'll say, sure. Edward, you're taking so long to eat. You're talking. Everybody is changing course. You've still got your appetizer there. You know, I do come from an Italian background where it's a very social. Eating is as much about talking as it is about actual consumption of food. But we live in this hurry, 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 get it over mm-hmm. with. So maybe the first thing you have to do with the holidays is you got to get the host or hostess to say, it's okay, however long they take. Let them take their time eating. Let's not hurry the plates. Or, okay, let's go. Let's go. We're bringing out the turkey now. Let's go. We're bringing out the lasagna now. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of a structure to eating that maybe we have to break down is what I'm hearing.
You know what? I think that the way that you're eating, if you were invited over to my house, you could eat as slow as you want, because I think what you're offering is exactly what we need to do. You're right, we eat too hurriedly. So what does that do? It gives our whole body a message that, hey, we're in a hurry and there's some danger around us. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And so now your digestion is going, oh my God, that was just too intense. Your heartbeat's racing. And we forget even about savoring the food.
Right.
You know, we forget about just actually enjoying the sensation of savoring the food. Truthfully, if you were to slow down, as you're suggesting, and actually just savor the food, you wouldn't eat as much. You'd enjoy the experience more. And I think that it's just good to be yourself and just say, hey, I'm happy enjoying my appetizer right now. I'll eat the rest when it comes, you know, and I think that if you're okay with it, your host will be okay with it. And I don't know if in your family, like I know in my family, that, you know, getting to eat more and eat is kind of a sign of love. But
right.
I think that if you're okay with it, your host will totally understand. And it's not like you're not going to eat the rest of the food, but you're just enjoying the experience, and that's okay.
You know, I'm sure you're going to enjoy knowing what I'm going to share with you. And you may have seen it in the news over the last week. I've been talking about this for the past couple of days. A report came out that showed how long do Americans spend eating in a day, all of the meals combined, and how much time do Europeans spend eating their meals of the day. The Europeans came in over 3 hours. The Americans came in under 1 hour. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, I get it. This is the drive-through McDonald's. This is the bring lunch to the work desk and typing and chewing at the same time. We're doing ourselves a disservice here, aren't we?
Absolutely. You reminded me when you said that. I started to think also about vacation. Look at Europeans. I think there are some European countries. I don't remember right now. I think France being one of them, maybe Italy. They take 6 weeks? They take a sizable vacation during the summer.
Indeed.
And in America, here, I often hear people saying, oh, my company's forcing me to take this vacation. I haven't had a vacation in 3 years. And, you know, it's this whole idea of enjoying yourself, taking the time, you know, the cafe thing. Like, you know, it's not, you can be more productive, actually, if you take breaks.
You know, it's interesting that we're bringing up vacations. We have a new president-elect who says you can expect him not to take any. That's mm-hmm. straight away off. He goes, vacation? With a country in the shape that we're in? He goes, I don't see any vacations. I don't see any mm-hmm. time for vacation. Now, I guess some people mm-hmm. do function well that way. There's always an exception that proves the rule. But what is it that we could learn about going contrary to the American rush, push, work around the clock attitude if we use our dog as our doctor and our cat as our nurse? What will these animals show us? That there's great value in not pushing ourselves, right?
Oh, absolutely. And now you've opened up the whole plethora of things that really animals, dogs and cats can really, that we can thrive with that relationship. Think about stress. Okay. It's basically, in my practice, I'm an acupuncturist and a plant-based nutritional consultant, and people walk into my practice and they've got X, Y, and Z conditions. I can almost always attribute stress as being an underlying factor that's going to contribute to that, to heart disease, to, even diabetes, to, I can't even begin to tell you the whole scope of things that people come in with, chronic illness, cancers. That stress has a vital component. So think about if you're working all the time, one, it's actually not a very productive way to work. I mean, we find brain science shows us we need the break. We need the break. You can't be going 24/7. You need the break. You know, your brain needs that break, and actually you'll be more creative, more productive if you take the 10-minute break in between.
Absolutely.
And animals, it's funny. When I'm working, my dogs will always let me know, let's get outside. I feel the nudge. You know, I don't know if you're a cat lover, but my cats will jump on my computer board.
Right.
And it's like, okay, no more of this. Let's do something. Let's enjoy ourselves.
Exactly.
I mean, last night I came home and I had had a long day. I'd been in Philadelphia the week before. So when I came back, I had a lot of catch up to do. And I worked till kind of late. And I saw that I was just more stressed than I'm used to feeling. And so I lay down and I just did some yoga stretched. And then my dog came and laid right next to me. Mm. And I hadn't quite wound down until she did that. And I started just engaging with her just by petting her, stroking her. And then just in that space of being, it's like they distracted you and it felt good to connect with her. And I realized, whoa, that stress level just plummeted. That just went down so fast. And I slept like a log. It was great.
Absolutely, so, right? I know exactly what you're talking about there. Our guest, StarCom Radio Network, The Ed Till Show, AM/FM stations all across America, is Carlene Montez Dioka. She is also the founder of an organization called the Animal Human Health Connection. What is that?
My focus is really to bring my two passions together, which is health and wellness. And also, an appreciation for the animals in our lives to bring so people can understand they really are more than pets. They just, people adopt an animal and maybe they're like, oh, we'll feed them and they can hang out in the house and maybe we'll walk them. But if they're not looking at the entire scope of really what our dogs and our cats can bring to our lives and other animals too, they're kind of missing a vital component. And in this age when we have so much chronic illness coming down the pike, I mean, truly, like heart disease, cancers, diabetes, all of these conditions, that statistics show that probably we will get one of these at some point in our life, and many people get two. We need to basically fill our tool bag with the things that we need to promote our health and wellness, so hopefully we won't go down that path. And I like to bring awareness of how our dogs and cats can actually help us with that. And I just wanted to share a really quick story about why I first discovered that. One is I noticed that they were having a tremendous benefit to my own health. But two, I started to notice in my office, sometimes people come in and they've got certain complaints and they come in and there was a particular person who I couldn't somehow build a bridge between them. I was giving him information. He was very curt. His arms were crossed in front of his chest. It's like and I thought to myself, maybe I'm not the right practitioner for this person. I may have to refer this person to someone else who can deal with them in a way that will benefit them. And then it suddenly dawned on me, ask him if he has a dog. And so I thought, hey, do you have a dog? And as soon as I engaged in that conversation, his arms went down. He started getting animated with his hands. His face started to smile. And suddenly I noticed, like, I have now built, he's open to me. He's now, like, we've engaged in a conversation, and he even, like, started to, like, cry, or his eyes started to well up because he was so moved by his own story of his own dog and what had happened. And I started to see, like, wow, this is a great way to bridge, you know, my, as a practitioner, to touch my patients, or that they can talk to me. And these animals have kind of built this opportunity, you know, between us. And so I'm always engaging people in their stories, and which is, my book is made up of a lot of those stories of people and how their animals have helped them. So basically, I'm trying to help bridge that connection between how animals help enhance our health and well-being. Wow. The animal-human health connection.
You know, that's incredible, because I have a longtime close friend who has a reputation for being a little bit curt with people, a little bit rough, a little bit tough, sometimes abrasive. But the minute the subject of the dog or his dog shows up, the personality change is remarkable. The tone, mm-hmm. and everything you talked about, the body language changes immediately. That is quite a dichotomy that we should see between the external society and then the personal contact that we have with our pets and animals, right?
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, I don't want to go too off track, but I actually just wrote an article about how dogs can help us, you know, basically bridge the gap between, you know, different political divides.
Wow.
And this is why I know this to be true. When several years ago, I used to volunteer at an animal shelter. And, you know, we were devoted. We were a group of, you know, 20 devoted people. We would go there. We would walk the dogs. I mean, one day we spent 8 hours walking dogs. We were just that devoted to trying to help them. And at a certain point, we'd get really friendly with each other, and we started talking, and, of course, the idea of politics did come up. And suddenly, I realized that the people around me, we all had very different political beliefs. And I thought to myself, isn't this amazing? Here we all are, yet our focus and our devotion and our love is towards these animals and what they give us. And we would almost do anything, you know, to help them get adopted. We were there for them. And I thought to myself, wow, this is incredible. You know, usually people, we wouldn't hang out with each other. And we almost agreed not to necessarily speak about the other stuff, but right. We were here for them. And to this day, we are all still connected.
That's awesome. See, I really think so many people miss the boat on this, and I'm so grateful that we're able to have this conversation to share this with people today. Also, I want to talk a little bit about when you wrote the book, Dog is My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life, did you find yourself learning while you were writing the book, that is, the writing of it, became instructive to you?
Absolutely. I love that question, because that is absolutely true. Were you here when I was writing it? Because that actually did.
I might have been next door listening very carefully to see if you were working or not.
Oh, yeah. It was almost as if, wow, it really did become that. And one of the things that was the most powerful was that I was interviewing quite a lot of people for the book, experts, but also I just interviewed regular people, mm-hmm. to even actually Jack Canfield, who's the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, you know, and that whole franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And they shared stories with me, and I was so moved by people's stories. And these stories came out of every facet of life. I was just so blown away by that scope. And to this day, what starts to happen is people engage in a conversation, and people find out I've written this book, and I tell them what the book is. And if they're an animal lover, and 9 times out of 10 they are, mm-hmm. they immediately launch into their own story.
Wow.
And I don't even ask them anything. They launch, and oftentimes there's tears. Oftentimes, I mean, and what's funny is that this happens more than once. Somebody will say, but I think I'm the only one, really. I don't think this, you know, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I'm like, are you serious? I just wrote this book. I don't think you're crazy at all.
Right, right. Our guest is Carleen Montez Dioka, and I want to talk a little bit about your great website and your acupuncture and nutrition counseling, because I'll tell you, we're really in great need of learning from ancient medicine. So much had been going on this planet long before we hit modernity that now sometimes we detach from our past and think everything is pharmacological, everything's from a laboratory, everything has got to be created rather than recognized and used. Can you talk about your passion for ancient medicine and acupuncture and nutrition counseling? Because I think it's a marvelous thing that is finally becoming mainstream, but it's been, you know, quite a while to get it there.
Yes, it's again, just like writing the book, going through school and then going through my practice and still practicing now, I learn so much. I'm constantly amazed. And you're reminding me of when I first started school, you know, what was it, 18 years ago? I first went to school and I asked, the teacher said, or the dean of the school said to me, you know what, he was standing in front of this big whiteboard. And he goes, you know what you're going to learn here? And I said, what? And he goes, and he puts a little black dot on the board, this much. Mm-mm. And then he goes, the rest you will have to learn in life, you know, as you practice this medicine. And
right. This
is what I love about this medicine. It's ancient and profound and full of wisdom. And one of the biggest pieces of wisdom, and I apply what I know about dogs and cats and other animals to this, is this connection to nature is vital. It's almost the last thing people think about when approaching their health and wellness. We think we've been conditioned to think, well, I got a headache, I'll take an aspirin. I've got a stomach ache, I'll take, you know, this drug or this over-the-counter thing for my stomach.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, taking a moment, you know, and being present. That's another thing that dogs and cats teach us. They're always very present. They're always in the moment. Just going, hey, let me take a step back and see, actually, maybe there's more to this physical illness. Maybe it's coming from an emotional component. Maybe it's coming from an unhealthy habit I'm having. But just stop and take a break and take a few moments and connect with, you know, your own being, connect with the nature outside. I mean, it's a profound thing to always know that nature kind of is our teacher.
Right
on. In Chinese medicine, we are always looking at the elements. We're looking at, you know, what's going on outside is being reflective of what's going inside our bodies, and even what's going on inside our bodies being reflective of what's going outside. And there's this profound wisdom that if people can tap into, we can be so much healthier in every way. And animals, this is what I love about them, they're tapped in, and their kind of health and wellness is very simple. I mean, they don't have to make it so complicated.
Indeed.
It's like drink water, right?
Right.
Drink water, sleep, eat well,
move
enjoy
around,
life,
run around,
fun.
Exactly. Right. Be active. Oh, man, you know, I could talk to you for hours. You're so good. And I'm reading your background. This was not always your environment. You worked in the motion picture industry. As a matter of fact, one of the films that you worked on was my mom's favorite movie, Three Men and a Little Lady. I can't tell you. Not only did we see it in the movie theater, my dad, mom, and I, but every time it was on TV, Edward, it's on. Can you come over, grab a pizza? I go, Mom, you want to watch Three Men and a Little Lady again? Oh, you know I love that movie. So it's so great that I can now say that I met someone who made my mom really, really happy. You're a terrific guest. But you did. You were working in an industry which is not always the healthiest, and you had a moment, and that moment really kind of changed your life. Can you reflect on that now just a bit? When did it dawn on you that, whoa, this might not be the right place for me?
Right. First, I want to say that your mom's got great taste. No, you know what? That was a really fun movie to work on. I must say it's one of my most memorable movies because we had so much fun. But let's see. When I started the film industry, I did go to film school, and I was very excited, and I, you know, was working up here at Lucasfilm for George Lucas, and I went to L.A., and I worked on, you know, Three Men and a Lady and a bunch of movies. And this is the thing. I mean, as much as I loved it, and it was this really cool industry, you know, and it was like you got to meet really cool people and famous people, and you got to travel, you know, on Three Men and a Little Lady, we went to England and got to work there for a while.
Right.
So it was all, but the thing was, you know, I think we always know when we're not totally aligned with what we're doing.
Right.
So what would happen was that it was such a rigorous industry. It was kind of a tough taskmaster. It was 24/7. You're expected to be there 24/7 if they want you. And don't expect to have lunch, you know, dinners, you know, or weekends. If they need you, they need you. And that's just the way it went. And the thing is, you know, again, we talked about this. It's exhausting. It's not great for your health. And a lot, you know, they have these great meals, like they'll bring in meals, and it's all full of wonderful, unhealthy, kind of sugary foods, which you indulge in because,
right.
you know, you're stressed and you're eating, you know, stress eating and all of that. And the thing was, I started, you know, I gained weight, I wasn't healthy, I was sleeping terribly. And I remember going to the doctor, and I got a test back that showed my blood glucose was way too high, and for people that's like almost like a pre-diabetes.
Mm.
So you don't want that.
Right.
And so I was just like, I've got to make a change. You know, my heart is not into this. I don't see myself going further with this, and yet I keep kind of putting myself out there doing this work. And I did take 3 months to step back and say to myself, okay, what am I going to do? What else can I do? And I had always wanted to work with animals. I really had, but I didn't want to be a vet. And so I thought, well, maybe I could be an acupuncturist for animals, but you still have to go through the schooling for human acupuncture.
Right.
And so I did, and so this is where I ended up. But it was just this idea that I had to really sit with myself and go, what do I want in my life? Do I want to just keep going down this path, and it's just this routine, and it's kind of cool for a while, but it's just really hard and not my passion, or do I want to really do something that fulfills me? And this was the choice I made.
I have to really, really tip my hat to you. That is a brave decision, because, you know, you were in that environment. I lived in Los Angeles for a long time. I was on KABC and KLSX out there, always around entertainment types, and you know that for some people, that is the entire end of their life. That's all they want to do, is to be in film or to be in some kind of the entertainment field. And they do put themselves aside secondarily for the credits that they can accrue. And certainly yours are quite impressive. So it takes a lot to step back from that. Now, indeed, your health was the signal, but still, we all know people who would just take a few things from the pharmacy and get right back into it. So I salute you for seeing the value of that. And I'll tell you what, look at the great work that you've done since. We're really grateful for the book and for what you offer to us. I hope you'll come back on the show. You and I have so much more to talk about.
I would love that. I think it's just been a great half hour. I've really enjoyed myself. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. And it doesn't even feel like a half an hour. I feel like you've been on about 10 minutes. But I'll tell you what, next time we're going to go even deeper into the rewards that you have found and that you now share with other people. Modern Alchemy Acupuncture.com is the website. Modern Alchemy Acupuncture.com, and our terrific guest, Carleen Montez de Oca. What a pleasure. Have a great rest of the day. How's your weather today out there?
You know, that's funny you should ask. It's quite cold, and all our electricity's gone here, so we're kind of cold. We're kind of cold in the house at the moment.
Well, I hope the power comes on soon, and I hope you guys get a nice warm blanket. And what's the name of your beautiful dog that I'm looking at on your website?
Is it a brown dog or is it a black dog?
It looks like a black lab.
Oh, he's a brown lab and his name is Rudy.
Rudy. Well, please give Rudy our best. He looks like he has an amazing effect on you, and you've had an amazing effect on us today. So thank you so much for the time, Carleen.
Thank you, Ed. I really, truly enjoyed it.
Look forward to doing it again. Carleen Montez de Oca. She is an acupuncturist, a nutritional counselor, a brilliant woman, and we're very lucky to have her as our guest today. Modern Alchemy Acupuncture, modernalchemyacupuncture.com is the website. On Starcom Radio Network.